anyway, this is praise time.
Yes.
And so what's your praise, Josh?
I'm here this Sunday. I missed last week, but I'm here today.
Yeah, man. The way this is going around here, you miss a Sunday, you're liable to lose your chair. you got to show up just to guard your spot. Sherry.
I had a couple of praises. My knee, I don't have to have surgery. Thank goodness. He said it's just shredded a little bit, but not enough for surgery. And the other test that I had done was good, but then I have a prayer request that they found other things. Looking for that.
Looking for that? That's kind of the way life goes sometimes. Speaking
of an offering job with the post office.
Yay.
With the
post office.
Post office.
It's a temporary position just during the holidays, but it's a foot in the door to be able to.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
You're going to go postal.
Postal.
My niece went to work for the post office, too.
Yay. So maybe, maybe that could bring the post office to the Lord.
Well,
maybe.
Who else?
I have a text message from Margaret I would like to read to everybody.
All right.
I appreciate the opportunity to meet your fellow church members, and I feel some new things that I totally ignored. Please thank Pastor and let the rest of the church members know that I thoroughly enjoyed my visit with everyone.
Amen. Good. Planting seeds. Amen. We want everybody to get saved right now. But it doesn't work that way. It's a matter of steps and the process. Yeah, Josh?
So I carved Kaylin's her first little pumpkin this year. And I did it with a kitchen knife. I did not cut myself.
Yay.
So that's impressive.
Well, okay. No blood on the scene. Who else? Yes, Denise.
I'm here.
Yes, you are.
Yay.
Yes, you are.
Sorry, I'm running late. I had a first good week on my new job.
Amen. 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 Cool. I finished a big project this week. The lady paid me, and she said, "I love it all."
Amen.
And it's one of those, I call it a TV kitchen.
Oh, wow.
Oh, it is. It's, yeah. I should take you over there for a tour.
Yeah, you should.
I'll get the pictures. I've never been much at taking the before and after stuff, but a lot of people do that. It's because I'm not advertising looking for more business. I take what the Lord sends me, and that's just what I want, but. It's definitely one of those TV kitchens. We tore out walls. We did all kinds of stuff in there. Andrew worked on the job, so he got to see it pretty much from start to finish. And quite a transition. Even the stairs, we redid the stairs. This was the house that I built 20-something years ago. It was in 94. The C&L 1994 is on the front porch in the concrete.
Yeah, that's well built.
Wow.
Well built.
I built that place in 94, and it's still, it's sold like four times since then. I've known what it sold for last. I've definitely sold it too cheap. Anyway, we finished it, and I got paid in full. Amen. So that's always a good thing,
Amen.
Especially the last part. Mary.
Okay, I have a wonderful praise. God is beyond awesome.
I've heard that about it.
At my rental house, we have the plumbers came out, listen to this, almost 4 years ago, and did a whole plumbing work. Paid him over $3,000 for the job. And then this lady, I rent the house recently, and she called me and said, "We're having a problem." I said, "What?" Anyway, we went there, and my son, Alex, we went there, and because we can do stuff like that. My children can do it. So we started digging the ground to find out. Tried to use a snake to clear it, he wouldn't clear. So we saw digging the ground, and we dig the ground. Pastor, you'll never believe what we saw. In one area where they're supposed to have the sleeve, join up the sleeve together, they just put the pipe and set it into a big hole, and you have the dirt, so the dirt blocked it. I couldn't believe it, and I cried out to the Lord Jesus. I said, "Jesus, I need your help, because we have to go dig the whole thing out. And my son said, Mom, what about the people that fix it? Let's call them. I said, I don't know about it. He said, let's call them. He called them, sent pictures to them, and showed them what's wrong. He said, look, my mom paid $3,000 to fix it. You better come fix it. They came out as same day, check it out, and the guy's like, wow, we did this. He said, then he said, the guy that did it, they fired him 2 years ago anyhow. And they came out and fixed redone everything, the whole ground, dig up everything, put new pipes, and now it's wonderful. No charges. Wow. God did that. You hear people? Amen. God did that. God said, when I cry out to God, God said, Mary, relax, don't worry about it, I'll take care of it. He took care of it. Man.
I know God's,
one more thing.
God's, I knew God was a lot of things, but I didn't know he was a plumber.
Stayed there all day till I finished the job.
He can handle it all. Amen.
Yep.
Amen.
He's a plumber. Look at your blood vessels and veins and stuff.
Well, that's true. That's some pretty good plumbing. Amen.
We don't mess it up.
Yeah, well, yeah. All right, who else? Praises. All right, Andrew.
I've never praised God openly, publicly for this, but I'm going to praise the Lord for Arkin. I don't know. It's the coolest thing. Arkin didn't grow up with a dad. And his biological dad is still, you know, who knows where. But I don't know. It's kind of, for me, it's like the Lord gave me the chance to be a parent whenever I had thought that was... chance for that was long gone because of the dumb things I did in my life.
Yeah.
You know, I thought I threw that all away, and I don't know, him and I are just really close, and I just praise the Lord.
It's a huge blessing.
It's a huge blessing for me.
Huge blessing.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Anybody else? Jerry.
First week I've been in scripture every day in several months.
Yeah? A
couple months.
How's that feel?
Wonderful.
Amen. Amen. Clarissa?
I praise the Lord that 39 years ago, God blessed us with a beautiful baby boy.
Oh.
It's true that we get to have in our family now. Today's his birthday.
39. Well, is that all? This is kind of like the pot calling the kettle black.
Well, everybody gave me a hard time. So it was my turn.
Well, next year is the one.
Next year, you might not see me.
Start. Next year, it's black balloons. And
I thought that was 50.
No, it's 40. No. 40 is...
Lordy, Lordy, look, he's 40.
39 years ago, today, at Bethany Hospital in Kansas City, Kansas. Yeah, you're the older one.
Well, happy birthday, Drew.
Thank you. Yeah. Daryl, what's your praise?
As hard as it was to do, I took the godly advice of God's word and my pastor, and I let him go.
Amen.
And, of course, it's paying for it. He won't leave me alone. He keeps blowing me up. But the next day, maybe the second day, it's real, real close. God sent me this young man that has more experience and he's younger than him. And he's got his own tools. He's respectable. He's nice. He lives close to the shop. I mean, he just like served him up on a platter to me.
That's what God does. That's what God does.
Yeah. Amen.
You could just still be fighting with the other guy.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I couldn't.
Well, sometimes God advice. Sometimes God's advice is hard to take.
Yeah.
It is. Tough. Sometimes it's hard to take.
Covered up with work and good, strong, able body, and I got
to
let him go.
Amen. Yeah. Well, it's. Sometimes it's tough, but it's like love. Tough love is still love. And if without it, it's not love. So, cool. Who else? Vicki.
I just wanted to praise God for my son. He had a birthday this week as well. He also turned 39. And I've seen some really positive changes within him, that he's finally accepting responsibility for his part in his recovery and everything that's happened to him, instead of always blaming it. Well, you know, he has previously blamed everything on the death of his fiance, and that's what caused it. But he realizes that, you know, he has to accept responsibility for that.
Yeah, that's one thing right there is holding so many people back, is unwillingness to accept responsibility.
Yeah, it's so good to see when they do, because you know their life is changing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Denise and then Sherry.
So they had two more positives at the nursing home. They were long-term care patients or residents. One is there in the quarantine hall. The other one they had to ship out to the hospital. So they tested everybody again in the home, and Dad was still negative. So
that's good. Amen. Good. Sherry.
I praise God for Vicki Garcia being here today.
Amen.
She went out with the baby.
Yeah, well, amen. Praise the Lord. Anybody else? Well, let's go to Proverbs. We'd worked our way down to verse 26, and we got into verse 26, but we really didn't spend much time on it. This is a strange wording in a verse. He that wasteth his father and chaseth away his mother is a son that causeth shame and bringeth reproach. Have any of you ever experienced this?
Yes, sir.
He that wasteth his father. You know, I grew up lost. I didn't get saved till I was 26. My mom and dad actually were saved, but not in church. There really wasn't a church that I knew of. There actually was one, but I didn't know about it at the time, you know, growing up. I watched particularly my brothers waste my father. They did this financially. He was one of those dads that couldn't say no to his kids if they needed help or if they wanted help. He would sign notes for them. He would co-sign for them, which let's just probably not talk about that because it's too depressing. Okay, we've all done, you know, I'm still there, you know, and it has bitten me so many times. You'd think, Daryl, that I'd learn to take some of my own advice once in a while, wouldn't you?
But I'm not going to let you forget it.
I'm sure you won't. I guess I'm an old softy when it comes to that, but I need to harden up a little bit. But I watched them left Dad holding the bag to pay for it, and Dad, he didn't have an income. I mean, he was living on Social Security, and Social Security in those days was nothing. I mean, I don't know what we lived on. There just wasn't any money, ever. I grew up without things that everybody takes for granted, you know, and it just wasn't there. But my dad had this work ethic, and he had this honesty and integrity thing going on. He would not let a debt go unpaid. He would do without whatever he had to do without to pay it. And he got left holding the bag for them. And I saw all that growing up. You kind of make promises to yourself, promises. Yeah. You know, I swore up and down I would never do that. And I didn't. You know, it's one of those times that usually when you see stuff like that, it affects you the other way. You know, you end up following what you see others do. But in this particular case, for me, it soured me on the idea of ever doing something like that to my dad. And I never did that. Not one time did I ever leave him holding the bag. And I was able to help in some ways at other times. So I saw that in a financial way growing up. And so that's the first thing that comes to mind for me when I read this scripture, he that wastes his father. it's a sign, the sign that causes shame and bringeth reproach, and it does. You talk about getting a bad name. You know, what's God say about a name? It's priceless. It's far above. A good name is worth more than rubies and gold and silver and all that treasure stuff. And chases the way his mother. Has anybody ever been in either on either side or witness to that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Now with my brother and my mom.
Yeah? What's that look like?
It looks like you're doing everything she doesn't want you to do, just to spite her.
Praise the Lord.
Yay!
Good to see you. Good to see you. Good to see you, Mark. Good to see you.
I think sometimes it's good for them for you to push them away.
Excuse me.
Well, that's not what this is. This is actions and language and attitudes that bring your mom to such a point that she can't take it anymore.
Well, that's what I'm saying. And then you just finally...
And that doesn't just happen with first-generation children. It happens with grandchildren, too.
Oh, yeah.
We've just been through some of this ourselves. It's horrible. There's nothing good you can say about it. Clarissa.
And it takes a lot to chase away
my mother. Oh, it does.
I mean, a lot.
It does.
Yeah.
It really does. Mm-hmm. But it can be done. It can be done.
The worst thing I ever did to my mother, I was 12. I turned away from her and blamed her for what my real dad did. And what he did was wrong.
Yeah.
But I blamed her. I walked away from her and blamed her. And
Denise?
I'm actually going through that with Josh right now. He's very disrespectful, you know, verbally.
Yeah.
Very unappreciative. His dad will tell him, you need to apologize to your mother. And I always tell my husband, no, he has to learn how to be to me himself. And he will regret it. At some point, we do all regret how we were with our moms.
Yeah. You know, growing up lost, I don't know how in the world I managed to not do that, but I didn't do either one of those things. Somehow or another. It's just by God's grace that, because I saw it happen in others, right there in my own family. Sometimes the evil that you see causes you to go the other way. In my case, it did. I did a lot of stupid stuff and a lot of sinful stuff, and, you know, there's nobody who didn't. Yeah. But a couple of things I didn't do. And that was one of them.
I'm like, the mom went, well, she did, but I mean, it wasn't bad, but she wouldn't knock my teeth down my throat. My dad, too.
Yeah. My mom went through an awful lot of suffering. And, you know, just life was just, it was hard enough just to have to make do with virtually nothing. But then, you know, the high blood pressure and the diabetes and all the, you know, all the other stuff that finally took her. She went through all that, too. And there was a time that her and Dad were just at, you know, Dad was just horrible to her. And then something happened. I'm not sure what God did. Might have been about the time I got saved. I don't know. But something happened that brought him out of that. When I would go home to visit, I found a little, after I got saved, I wouldn't, if it's Sunday, I'm going to be in church, wherever I am. I found his church up in town, in our old hometown there, and lo and behold, it was a good church. So they were solid. I mean, it was, and there were kids in there that I went to school with, but, and then I was a little upset with them after that. I thought, well, why didn't y'all tell me about them of this? Here I'm going, you know, growing up my whole youth lost. And but anyway, after, once I started going, they started going with me. After that, they stayed there, and things got good with them. And then I go back to my brother, who's 6 years older, the one closest to me. And probably as evil as anybody I ever knew, in ways that I don't even want to talk about. Bill. I found out a few years back that he's dying of cancer. And so I thought, well, I can go back to the funeral, or I could go see him now. But I probably can't do both. So I went back, I flew in and rented a car. Actually, I didn't rent a car. Your Uncle Jim loaned me one of his, and I drove down there and saw him. And lo and behold, I get down there, and what do I find out? I find out that he, a few years ago, got saved and has been a member of the church in Greenfield all this time, and I never knew a thing about it.
Oh, praise God.
And so it was, you know, weird.
Did you have it just on your mind, I'm going to get him saved?
Or, well, yeah.
I don't know if he's saved, so I'll make sure.
I figured he was. The idea of him being saved would be the first thing for my thinking, because I know him. It's just one of those examples that proves that Jesus can save anybody.
Yeah. Come on.
It doesn't really make any difference what you've been. If you're willing to allow Christ to do it, he'll save you from your sins.
Amen.
So this is, you know, he that wastes his father and chaseth away his mother is a son that causeth shame and bringeth reproach. And God can still fix that.
What is "and bringeth reproach"?
Bringeth reproach. Reproach is, it's basically shame. Shame is, you've done something you really should be ashamed of. Reproach is other people seeing it and...
You bring it to your family. It's what you bring to your family.
Dishonor, bring a dishonor.
Yeah.
It's basically what it's talking about. And so he certainly did a whole truckload of that. Somehow, I don't know. One thing it does that I did learn from that is that you have influence you don't know about. God is. As a matter of fact, we've got some family coming in next week. A niece that I'm hoping, you know, I don't know where they are spiritually, but they've always had a very extremely respectable and a very high opinion of me when not many other people did, family-wise. So we'll see how that all goes. Autumn. Yeah, she'll be in. And she's about 39.
Yeah, I remember when I was like 8 or 9 years old, I was carrying her as a baby.
Yeah, she's probably 32 or something like that. Anyway, she's always loved her uncle and been very affectionate toward me. Anyway, don't ever do that, okay? Then verse 27 is advice to this son that's causing shame. The advice is, cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causeth to err from the words of knowledge. Quit listening to the people that are telling you wrong. Now, where is that going on?
In the world.
Well, it's going on in the world, but let's be a little more specific. Somebody, Denise, is telling Josh, either by example or otherwise, that it's okay to disrespect his mother. Is that what's going on there?
Like someone else?
Well, I mean, he's getting it from somewhere.
Somewhere. He's seeing it.
Yeah. He's seeing it done. He's
the media, television.
Media, yeah. One really big source of that. Gilbert.
In all of us, we have a seed of rebellion. And it's a form of independence. But then God makes intervention and intercession. And sometimes we're at a loss to assist what we think we need, and God makes a way to clear the path.
One of the sources of instruction that causes us to err is school. A lot of junk being taught in school. And then when you move out of the regular grades into college, then it goes through the roof. college, you talk about instruction that causes us to err from the words of knowledge. College is supposed to give you the words of knowledge. But when it comes to the knowledge that counts the most, higher learning is not higher at all, is it? It's lower learning in the halls of higher learning.
What is the passage? The more intelligent man becomes, the more ignorant he is?
Yeah. Well, something like that. A little bit like that. Gilbert, go ahead.
I heard a statement this morning in one of the ministries in the television, and it made me reflect on it because we not only have this pandemic, which is somewhat evil, it's 38 million people infected in the world, but we also, he emphasizes, we are taken by that and distracted, but we have it because we have a sin pandemic in front of it.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Sin has been a pandemic since the Garden of Eden, hasn't it? Yeah. It's the only cause of death.
Blinded by all these things.
There's only one cause of death.
Satan.
It's sin.
Sin, yeah.
For the wages of sin is death. That's what caused it. No sin, no death. Cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causes to err from the words of knowledge. Where else does this instruction come from? Now, use your heads a little bit. Think about this.
The friends you keep.
Friends? Yeah, some. I've got a sermon in preparation that I'm working on. I'm kind of in the middle of writing down notes and collecting thoughts. It is narrow-minded theology. Vicki.
Could it be, his own flesh? I mean, the dog you feed the most is the one that's the strongest, so it sounds like he's listening to...
Listening to your heart.
Your heart.
Following your heart is a huge source of advice that errs from knowledge. But narrow-minded theology, the message is about, there are many religious systems that take a certain passage of Scripture, misinterpret it, and base their entire foundation of what they believe, of their entire theology, on this one idea. There are a bunch of them, and they're on TV every Sunday morning. Acts 2:38. He that believes, that repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. Well, that verse is teaching that you repent, you change your mind about what you trust in, and then you get baptized because of the remission of sins. That's what that Greek word in there that's translated for in King James is. It's because of, not in order to obtain. And then that companion passage is Mark chapter 16, where it says, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believes not shall be damned. The point is that I'm calling it narrow-minded theology, and then when we get to the conclusion of the thing, I want to show you how narrow-minded we are. And narrow-minded, if it's on the right narrow path, is not a bad thing.
Amen.
Amen.
But we're extremely narrow-minded, and glad we are. But when you do this other thing, you base your theology on a little spot of Scripture over here, and especially something that you don't even understand. The scripture, Daryl, that you asked me to explain on Wednesday night, Hebrews chapter 6, verse 4, 5, and 6, when it talks about it's impossible to be renewed again to repentance, that verse of scripture is one of the most important verses of scripture regarding eternal security there is, yet it's used to deny it because of misunderstanding. All of the various groups out there that teach that you can lose eternal salvation. I mean, what an oxymoron that is. How can you lose eternal salvation? All of those are based on these misunderstandings of small portions of Scripture when they don't take into consideration the whole of Scripture. I mean, the whole of Scripture overwhelmingly tells us that there's two kinds of people in the world. There's people that have a relationship and people that don't. And everybody starts out without one. And once you get one, it's forever. And it's just the way it is. And if you don't understand those things, if you don't understand it, then you take one of these little, you know, I tell you what, some of the people that teach and preach their junk are really persuasive at it. They're really good at it. Now, if you don't know your Bible really well, they'll pull scripture together here and there and there, and they'll have you wondering, well, but yeah, you know, they'll have you so confused you don't know what you believe.
Slow them down and read the context around it.
This is one of the sources of knowledge, of instruction, not knowledge, but instruction, that causes us to err from the words of knowledge. Daryl.
That's one of the reasons I brought it to your attention, because in what you're saying right now, it shocked me. I've read that scripture many times, many times. But when it was presented and I read it, it freaked me out for a second.
Yeah.
And then I know my Bible. I know that Jesus keeps it, not me. And it's a forever deal. And so I corrected my thinking and was relieved of it. But it still hit me like a brick when I first saw it, because I know what I've done and
well, here's the thing, and I can't remember the grammatical term for this. I'll have it before I preach it, give it to you again. Andrew told me, so we'll ask Justin. I said, yeah, I'll ask him. But I taught him what it means. Now I can't think of the word. There's a grammatic term that is, you use an absurdity to prove a point. When you use absurdity to prove a point, I forget what the name of that term is offhand, but I'll have it for you in a couple of weeks. But there are a bunch of those in Scripture.
Reductio ad absurdum.
That's it. Reductio ad absurdum. It's a Latin term. And it means using absurdity to prove that something is one way or the other way. And that's what it is. That scripture we're talking about, and this is how easy it is to get sucked into instruction that causes you to err from the words of knowledge. If you get this scripture laid out by itself, let me just read to you here. It's three verses. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucified themselves to the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame.
Where is that? Can you tell me?
Hebrews 6:4, 5, and 6.
Just by itself, well, that just sounds awful.
Just by itself, it does. But, however, if you examine the passage, for it is impossible. Something is impossible. Now, you haven't figured out what's impossible yet. Now, who's it impossible for? For those that were once enlightened, for those that have tasted the heavenly gift, for those who were made partakers of the Holy Ghost, for those that have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come. That's who it's impossible for. Now, what is impossible?
God.
What? No. You just look at the scripture. What is impossible? That's what comes next.
Oh, to redeem.
If they shall fall away, to renew them unto repentance. What the scripture says is that if you could fall away, it would be impossible to ever come back. If you're saved and you could be lost, you would never be able to be saved again, if that were true. If that were true. It's an absurdity pointing out a clear truth. It does not say that you can fall away. It says if you could fall away, you couldn't get back. People could say, well, that means if it says it, if it's going to happen, that means surely it's possible. No, that's not what it means at all. Go to 1 Corinthians 15 as my favorite example. If Christ be not risen, then your faith is vain. Is it possible that Christ is not risen? Because it says, if Christ be not risen. Same writer, by the way.
It's one of the things I always bring
Ball.
When they say that you have to get resaved because you sin. Well, how many times did Jesus got down on the cross for you?
Exactly. Once. That's exactly what it's talking about.
What?
It's a once
that's
for all.
That's all it takes.
So you can see how easy it is to be duped. This is why God gives you pastors and teachers, because and this is why that pastors and teachers that know the book don't recommend you listen to every Tom, Dick, and Harry that shows up on TV on Sunday morning.
Amen.
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 This verse makes me think of how some people. It puts a burden on my heart, kind of, for high school kids and college kids, because a lot of them don't have any other instruction
yeah.
to pay attention to when they're being fed the evolution stuff. I have a degree in biology, aka evolution, and I'm telling you what, I mean, there's probably nothing more during that time of my life than taking the bait of population.
And that's exactly what it is, taking the bait.
Yeah.
Jordan got the biggest argument with one of his teachers over that.
The Word of God says, cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causes to err. Quit listening to it. That's what it says. That's the command.
Well, what if you have to?
Well, that's just it. Do you ever have to?
Well, if you're in high school and you're going to pass or fail based on whether or not you listen and pay attention and pass your biology test, yeah, you got to listen.
Well, there's one thing about hearing, and there's another thing about hearing. It's one thing to hear the sounds.
Yeah.
It's another thing to hear it and have it and to receive it.
Yeah, Calista had a good example of this. Like, she would have to take tests, and she'd know what the answer they wanted was, even though it wasn't the correct truth. You know?
Yeah.
Jordan got so mad he punched the wall. I had to go pick him up. He was so mad at that teacher.
Yeah.
He did. I had to go pick him up from school. They called me for work.